Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He swings! Alexander Steen on his forehand hits a deep to left field!
Get up, baby.
That's way back! Get up. Shoot, score! And it's a bunker! Bring out the Zamboni!
Oh, yeah!
This is a legendary KMOX Sports Open Line, presented by Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford, celebrating over 50 years serving St. Louis on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Well, happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome in. 2 hours of Sports Open Line starts now. Happy to be along with you tonight. Alex Ferrario with you, and lots to get into with this one as we have Blues Talk, the day off, an odd Tuesday day off for the Blues as they had multiple days off. Really an odd week for the Blues because, what, they played on Tuesday and then they played on Friday. And then you play on Sunday afternoon and they had the day off on Monday. They practice today and then they get set to take on the Chicago Blackhawks tomorrow night. So really an odd way for the NHL schedule to have the Blues play. But look, the entire first month and a half of the season has just been dumb for the Blues schedule. So hopefully things will start picking up a little bit more and we'll start to see more hockey on a consistent basis. And you can look at that positive or negative, I guess, for the way that the Blues have played. But one thing's for sure, it's a big road trip starting tomorrow night against the Chicago Blackhawks. Plenty of that to get into tonight. We'll also talk some off-season baseball. Jim Duquette will join us in our next segment, the former Baltimore Orioles owner, general manager. He's also a part of MLB Network Radio, so he'll jump on with us and talk a little Cardinals off-season news, some other news as well, as both managers of the year named Brian Snitker of the Atlanta Braves and Bob Melvin of the Oakland Athletics. So we'll get into some of that. And as always, we'll take your phone calls, 314-436-7900, our telephone number and text line. If you want to hop in with us, Mike Anderson hanging out tonight, our producer as well. So bring your questions alongside with us tonight and, you know, maybe get into some other things because, you know, this concussion settlement thing in the NHL is so intriguing to me. And we'll talk with Greg Wyshynski of ESPN in the 7 o'clock hour a little bit about that, a little bit about the Hall of Fame ceremony that took place last night. But this concussion settlement, I think people aren't talking a lot about it now, but it's going to become bigger news depending on how upset some players get and how far some players want to fight this. And we'll hit on that in just a couple of moments once we hit our My Ferrario 5 segment. But before I do that, and before I get into sports talk, I have to talk about what happened. I don't know if anybody has significant fears, but I lived mine yesterday afternoon. And so if you don't know this about me, I do pest control on the side in the mornings as another job. And so, you know, I'm out doing pest control around homes. You never know what you're going to find. You find a lot of crazy things, a lot of nasty things, and some things that kind of make you panic. And look, spiders don't really bother me. I know it bothers a lot of people, but spiders just don't concern me. Now, my big fear are snakes. And I don't think we have that major of a problem here in St. Louis with snakes. Or at least that's what I thought until yesterday. Now, listen to this. So I'm sure people have seen these videos of, you know, people finding snakes in their toilet. Or I saw one the other day of some guy finding a big boa constrictor in his wall. And he broke it down and he pulled the snake out. So I'm walking around a house the other day, you know, out in, what, 25 degree weather, which you would think isn't snake weather. And this person has a little bit lower of a deck. It's kind of a crawl space. So I'm down on my knees kind of hopping around. And, you know, there are weeds everywhere. There are leaves everywhere. It's the fall. You really don't know what's going on. You hear rustling. You think it's just the wind. No big deal. So I'm sitting there crawling under trying to treat this side of the house. And all of a sudden something moves. And I look up and it's like the deer in the headlight look, only like deer in headlight, and I can see a guy with a rifle standing right in front of me. Like, I don't know to run. I don't know to stand still. I really just didn't know what to do. I didn't know what it was because you couldn't see it. So I'm sitting there waiting, and then all of a sudden, this son of a gun pops out of the Leafs with its head and starts slithering towards me. Let me tell you something. If the customer would have been home, they would have heard me scream at the highest pitch I have ever screamed in my life. And you can hear my voice right now. It's pretty difficult to get a high-pitched scream out of me, but it happened. I dropped everything. You know those cartoons where they like run through a concrete wall and your body shape is just through that wall? That's what it looked like for me underneath this person's crawl space. I despise snakes, and I lived that moment the other night, or the other day, I should say, and let me tell you something. I am traumatized from walking anywhere where there's grass above the top of my shoe. So thank you to all the snakes out there that have pretty much destroyed any chance of me just, you know, casually walking around out in St. Louis. But yeah, that one was bad. I hope I never have to live that one again. But since we're on the topic of snakes, I want to jump into my Ferrari 05, and I'll start with the number one. Look, I think people need to drop this Jake Allen, Chad Johnson conversation. I know that so many people are out there saying, well, Jake's not getting it done for you. You need to find another goaltender to play. Look, Jake Allen didn't get it done for you in front of bad defensemen. And I don't know who's going to be starting tomorrow night against Chicago. Mike Yeo wouldn't address that. My gut feel would be Jake Allen because he's been out for so long and you want to get him back in. And look, you got back-to-backs coming up. Chad Johnson's probably going to get another chance to play on Friday or Saturday. But look, you got to get Jake Allen going. You have to do everything you can to find out what this player is. And you feel like you've made improvements with your defense. You feel like you've taken a step forward with the way that the guys are playing in front of the goaltender. Now, Minnesota was a step back, but they worked hard today at practice of exiting their zone, moving the puck fast through their own zone into the neutral zone. So I think it's some confidence in the guys, but it's also you got to see what Jake Allen can do for you. So don't be surprised if he's back in net, but can we please just stop the, well, you need to trade Jake Allen and go find another goaltender. One, it's not that easy. And two, his numbers aren't that bad if you dig into it. Take some time and just look at his numbers despite the slumps that he has gone through. And I think you'll be kind of surprised at what he has done in the league when you take out those slumps. Now, I know those slumps hurt this team so much, but it's not all on Jake Allen. There are other factors that go into it. Number two, this road trip for the Blues. It's huge, and there's no doubt about that. This rest of November is huge for this team. I mean, this road trip, Chicago, San Jose, and Vegas, but then beyond that, it's Central Division. It's Nashville, Winnipeg, after the LA Kings. So you have a span of seven games there, all in the Western Conference, and four out of the seven, I should say, in the Central Division. Those are points to jump back up. Now, what you can't have happen to you is lose to the Blackhawks tomorrow night in the midst of an eight-game losing streak. Yes, Chicago is going to be ready to pounce. Yes, Chicago is going to be ticked off. But you have to outdo their anger and aggressiveness out there on the ice. And they've hurt you a couple of times this season, so you need to take advantage of that. And I think you need to make sure that you start the road trip off on a positive note. Because if you don't, then things will need to change for this Blues team, because you can't keep losing in the Central Division. If you don't find a way to go above 500 in November, some type of major change will need to happen before you get into December. So the Tom Wilson news. This is my third one on the Ferrari 05. The Tom Wilson news. We'll dig deeper into this a little bit later on in the 7 o'clock hour, but I'm surprised that the NHL reduced this, which it's not the NHL that reduced this. Basically, it's a outside source arbitrator that decided that it needed to be reduced. You know, some of it probably is that they felt like, well, he's already spent 16 games. What's reducing it down to 14 and just letting him play? But I think it's more than reducing the number of games he's suspended. Now, I can understand where the NHLPA and the arbitrator came from, because there was no real distinction of the 20 games where NHL pulled that number out of. But two, it already worked once with Austin Watson, and I think they're just trying to keep the peace between these two sides. So a lot of frustration, though, with Tom Wilson outside of just St. Louis, but a lot of people supporting the decision to get Tom Wilson back into the game. And it'll be interesting to see what happens, because I can tell you this, if Tom Wilson does another hit like that, you won't see him for an entire season. I think you'll see him for 40 to 50 games out of the league if he gets another suspension or another phone call or in-hearing situation after a dirty hit. My fourth one, the concussion settlement. We'll dig deeper into this one as well. But it's no doubt the owner's got a steal in this concussion situation. And again, I think this is going to get nastier than what people understand, because the NHL players kind of feel wronged in this situation. And it's not so much the settlement that happened. It's the fact that the NHL worded the settlement to where it's like it's still on the player's fault. And the players, like reading from some of these guys that are going through this, they just want an apology. They just want the NHL to acknowledge the fact that concussions in hockey are a real thing, and how are we going to prevent it? And if you can't get on board with that, if you're the NHL, then you're going to have a bigger problem on your hand. And I think that's what they're about to find out when it comes to this lawsuit. Now, again, it's settled, but that settlement can change in a heartbeat depending on how fast players want to jump into this. My final one of my Ferrari 05 before we get to Jim Duquette tonight here on the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. How much fun are these celebrations in the NFL? Like we've talked about how they allow the touchdown celebrations and they're not going to throw flags anymore unless it's ridiculous. But it seems like players have lost creativity. Did you see what happened with the Kansas City Chiefs over the weekend? Tyreek Hill gets a touchdown, and he pulls a patented celebration. He goes into the crowd, and he grabs the camera and starts videotaping the crowd. So he gets fined for that. But then it's like, dude, where's the creativity? Like, this has been done before. There's so many different things you can do, and then you're just going to jump into the crowd and grab it. Next thing you know, one of them's going to pull out some popcorn or a cell phone like old Terrell Owens did. I don't know, man. It's just kind of like, okay, I guess we've hit the creativity barrier right now where there's nothing else to do. And then you had Michael Thomas pulling the phone out from underneath the field goal. The creativity has escaped the NFL players, I think, when it comes to their celebrations. So that's going to be my Ferrari 05 for tonight. Here's what's on tap. It's sponsored by Smart Contractors. Jim Duquette of MLB Network Radio, former general manager in baseball. He joins me next to talk a little offseason and Cardinals and Bryce Harper. That's next on KMOX.
This is the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
You are the best baseball town in America, and there is no doubt about it.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Back in on a Tuesday night, Alex Ferrario with you. We'll transition into a little baseball talk. We'll get back into some hockey talk in the 7 o'clock hour. Greg Wyshynski of ESPN will join us at about 7:15. Boy, what am I doing with these times right now? I'm all over the place. But now we want to get into a little off-season talk as we head to the Quiver River Electric guest line and welcome in our guest this evening. He's one of my favorites to listen to on MLB Network Radio. He's a baseball analyst, Jim Duquette, the former general manager for the New York Mets and Baltimore Orioles. Jim, it is great to talk with you tonight, sir. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Alex? How you doing?
Not much, man. Just excited for this offseason to kick off. And I always feel like this is the dry part of the offseason because it's like Christmas time once you hit Thanksgiving, because everyone just wants it to get here, but there's still some time to wait.
I hear you. You know what? I feel like the market was so slow last year. Like, okay, well, Christmas bled into spring and into, like, I was like, come on, let's go already, right? Let's sign some of these guys. And it was just such a tough market that I think, I don't know, my indications, I talked to a lot of agents, you know, during the postseason, and they were kind of a little, they were cautiously optimistic, but they were still a little concerned. And then there's been more recent talk that, hey, we do feel like there's going to be a little bit more aggressiveness, at least at the upper end. So I'm kind of curious to see, if we can see a couple of these signings, maybe, around Thanksgiving or maybe just a little bit after that, week before we get to the winter meetings out in Vegas, which is like, what, the 8th or 9th, something like that, leading into Vegas. We'll have some signings. We've had signings in that period of time. I think we'll see it again this year.
Yeah, you know what's so interesting? It really felt like it was starting to pick up some heat just in the meetings that took place in California like a week ago. Like, you'd see some of the reports of interest here and interest there. I honestly felt like there was going to be some signings that week.
Yeah, I did too. I usually, when you have, let's say, the sort of qualifying offer guys, those seven guys that were made, their teams made qualifying offers to, make sure that they receive compensation in case they sign elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Right. So we saw Ryu for the Dodgers was the only one who re-signed or accepted the offer. Like, usually when we get past that, which that deadline was yesterday, we start to hear more. All right, now we can start to move ahead. But we were hearing a lot of trade talk. We got that one trade there with Tampa and Seattle with Mike Zunino and Malik Smith. It was, a smaller type of trade, but it was, a baseball trade where it's like, okay, I have a need for a need rather than salary dumps like we see during the course of the season. So I think we've started to see that activity pick up a little bit. I'll be happy once we get that first free agent signing or two that's not a relief pitcher. Like last year, the relief market went off the board fast.
Right.
I'm looking for the starters or, a couple of these position players to go first, hopefully.
Again, we're talking with Jim Duquette here on the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line, Jim of MLB Network Radio. Jim, before we dig deeper into this offseason and a lot of these signings that are going to take place, I want to ask you a little bit about the two managers of the year. Brian Snitker winning it for the Atlanta Braves in the National League, and Bob Melvin winning it in the American League of the Oakland Athletics. And what caught me by surprise was Bob Melvin. This is his third manager of the year, and he only trails a couple of guys with that fourth manager of the year in all of Major League Baseball, which is incredible.
It is amazing. Bob's a really bright guy. I get him every other week on my radio show on MLB Network Radio. And, he does... Like, it's a perfect fit, right? He grew up in the Bay Area in Oakland. Now he's been their manager now it's been several years now.
Yeah.
I think what he does a great job of is taking what the front office gives him in the roster, doesn't complain. They don't include him a lot in the evaluation or the acquisition, but he takes, the talent and puts them in the right areas to succeed. And he did a great job this year with the young talent. They're 22 games better, I think, this year from last, right? I don't think anyone expected him to be, 97 wins like they were. So that's generally what you see with these managers of the year, right? They're lower expectation teams, all of a sudden they turn things around and they end up with this terrific record, like both teams did, really.
Yeah, and Brian Snitker, a phenomenal year with the talent that he had in the Atlanta Braves organization. But what's so interesting, Jim, was the voting process, because who came up in fourth place was Mike Schilt of the Cardinals, who came in mid-season. I think that's incredible.
It's unbelievable when you think, because that doesn't happen very often. When first off, you change at the All-Star break, it's a little late for managerial changes. And I think the hope was for the Cardinals side that you'd see a bounce in the team, but you never really think that's going to happen. It doesn't always happen that way. And man, it did. And the way Mike handled it, obviously, was terrific. They made those, some adjustments on the defensive side. It seemed like there was a cloud that was lifted there. So, yeah, I was as surprised as you were, because we see the top three, and we don't see what's below behind that, and Mike getting plenty of support to end up in the fourth spot.
Well, and, so many people are talking about this offseason, Jim, and how big this one is for the Cardinals and how they want to see some type of big move. And we'll address that in just a couple of moments. Sure. But what I think is important for the Cardinals fans to know is you got a manager like Mike Schilt who just did this in the middle of the season. And I think that's the most intriguing part going into next year. Like, you have a full season of Mike Schilt with a couple of new faces on his roster and a couple of new faces on his staff that can do an awful lot through spring training and training camp.
Yeah, I agree with you that, the tone, the steadiness that he brought, some of the changes to handling the pitching staff, all those things seem to matter a lot. And so you can't go on that type of run if you don't have talent, right? So, it was a talented team. I actually liked the Cardinals to get to the postseason this year. They were underachieving again, but I really thought there was enough talent there. They had addressed it. yeah, there's a lot of pressure on him this winter and certainly next year. But you do feel a lot better that I like to look at the Pythagorean win total, which is on Baseball Reference. What are the wins based on the run scored, runs allowed? What are you supposed to win versus how many you do win? And it was well below what was the expected win total with Mike Matheny, with Mike Schilt. That improved a lot. And I think with a full year, you're going to see a better Cardinals team. Just if they went with the personnel that they had, I don't think that you're going to see that. You're going to see improvements, I think, though. That's what I would get excited about if I was a Cardinal fan.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And again, we're talking with Jim Duquette, former GM of the New York Mets and Baltimore Orioles. He's now an analyst on MLB Network Radio. You can follow him on Twitter at @Jim_Duquette. So, Jim, a lot of people talking about this offseason for the Cardinals needing that cornerstone elite superstar in the middle of their lineup. People want Bryce Harper. People want Manny Machado. In your opinion, who do you feel like is the best fit for this Cardinals team, whether it be a signing or whether it be a trade?
Boy, it's a really good question, because I feel like, Manny Machado, despite what we saw, in the postseason, he saw some things that he didn't like in the hustle side of things. But I feel like St. Louis in that market, with Manny as their shortstop, securing the middle of the diamond, he was really much better defensively when he went to the Dodgers than what he showed in Baltimore. I think, if you're going to go down that road of a big contract, I would go up the middle with the defense and the offense. I've seen Manny since he came up as a 19-year-old here in Baltimore, where I live. Those are some of those things that I don't think he's going to get 9 years. I think he can get, I think you'd be able to get him for less. I could be wrong, but originally I wrote 9 year deals somewhere in that range. I think you might be able to get him for 7. And if that's the case, I would think the Cardinals and that environment, that city, I think that would be really almost a perfect fit for him.
It's so funny how it worked in the postseason, Jim, because, you have a guy who was a superstar with Baltimore for so many years. He comes to the Dodgers and he plays very well for them. But then obviously, the hustle comment that he made and then the situation that happened at first base against the Brewers. Do you feel like that takes a hit for teams in free agency, or do you feel like because of the track record that he has, he's still going to get the type of money and he deserves to get that type of money?
I think that it does push some teams out. I do. I think I can understand that. I really can. Being from the GM side of things, when you're giving out 9-10 year deals and he's a face of your franchise, you got to be able to trust the player. I think number one, trust that he can live up to the contract on the field physically, and Manny can do that. Off the field, okay, if you're not looking, it doesn't have to be necessarily a leader in my mind, but I think that, I've seen him behind the scenes signing a lot of autographs for kids, with the youth and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I'm a little biased. I'll admit I am, but I do think that, you can overlook some of those things, maybe not all of them, but I do think that, a guy like Yachty could have a huge impact with him, at least the early part of that contract. And you hope that eventually, that it ends up not being as much of an issue there in St. Louis as it might be, in L.A. or in New York.
It's an interesting situation, too, with him, Jim, because, he talked so much when he was in that final year in Baltimore that he wanted to play third base and that he wanted to show that that's the position he could play. And, he went to the Dodgers and played a lot of shortstop. But, third base is an area that needs help as well for the Cardinals. And, he could be a utility guy, whether it is shortstop or third base, and he provides that bat into the middle of the order.
Well, the thing I love, first, like the bat, as you mentioned, it's hard to have an impactful bat and a guy who hits really good pitching. Like, if you watch the NLCS, I was there covering it for MLB Network Radio, he hits really good pitching.
Yeah.
He had trouble against the Red Sox. They knew him well. They had a good game plan. They threw a lot off speed, pounded him in. But that, I think, is more of an aberration. So you start there. The defense, listen, you could start him at shortstop. Yeah, we know he's one of the top third basemen in the game. As a shortstop, he really, really caught my eye. But, is one of the top three or four, so, at least defensive run safe, some of the metrics I like to use. So he can do either, you know, and I think that's the beauty and the flexibility that he provides. If you wanted him to play short the first couple of years, move him to third, you can do both. The Dodgers use him a little bit at short and third, yeah, you know, during the course of the season. So I think that certainly brings value too.
So why Manny Machado over Bryce Harper, Jim?
Well, I love Harper too. It's a tough call either way. I think if you're, you know, and I don't like, you know, there's no real player that gets in the way. You know, obviously with Bader and Ozuna, they're not at conflicts, but right field with Fowler and Martinez, like you don't want them getting in the way of a Harper, signing Harper.
Yeah.
So if you could work out a deal, one of those guys, which you can't with Fowler and maybe Martinez with an American League club, you insert Harper there. But, you know, for me, I feel like if I watched the Cardinals last year, their infield defense really was bothersome to me. Also, the bullpen. Those are the areas I would focus on the most. And of course, middle of the bat, I think Manny fills two holes with one signing. And so that's how I would go. And then you could use DeJong at third if you wanted, or you could use DeJong as a, you know, as that guy, or Manny is the guy that you mentioned, third short. So yeah, there's a lot of roster flexibility that I feel like Manny adds that Harper wouldn't. And that's really, you look at these teams, roster flexibility has been a, you know, one of the terms that you've seen some of these good teams use.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. One more on Manny Machado, Jim. A lot of the stuff that's happened over the last couple of years, you know, obviously with guys like Giancarlo Stanton and the Cardinals' pursuit, you know, maybe the city not being the prolific city that some players want to go to. Does Manny Machado strike you as a guy that wouldn't be interested in joining a St. Louis team in the Midwest compared to teams on the West or the East Coast?
You know, I think, you know, I mentioned this earlier, but, you know, for me, it was a really good fit in Baltimore, the city, the community, just for him, you know, his personality. I think, you know, in his mind, he may have these ideas that L.A. or New York are good for him, but watching him play, the baseball town that as good as St. Louis is, I think it's a really, really good fit. I think he'd be willing to play there. Of course, the money's going to have to be right. But I think that's the spot that I think it fits perfectly. I think you get Yachty involved with the recruiting, you know, in particular. I think that certainly, you know, the Phillies are going to be in steep competition. And that front office was in charge of drafting him back when he was with the Orioles. So they're going to have a leg up on you, you know, for the Cardinals. But I do think that of the teams, three or four teams, that he's a good fit. I think St. Louis is one of them.
You know, another area that you mentioned, again, we got a couple more minutes with Jim Duquette here on Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line on KMOX. Another area that you mentioned, Jim, that the Cardinals need to focus on is the bullpen. And, you know, we saw a connection at the meetings in California of Craig Kimbrell and the Cardinals' name. Do you feel like the Cardinals are going to be active in the bullpen help, whether it be a closer or whether it be just a couple of arms, that they need to bolster that area up?
So there's so many names, so many good ones available. Like I like the fact that they were shopping for Kimbrel, and then you could leave Hicks in the eighth if you wanted to go Hicks in the ninth, and go with a lesser guy or two guys that could, you know, maybe like Adam Ottavino, Zach Britton,
yeah,
David Robertson. Like there's so many. Andrew Miller, Cody Allen as a bounce back. Although I'd want more certainty. Allen, you know, really kind of scuffled down the stretch there in Cleveland. I think you could go out if you're the Cardinals and sign two guys. I know, you know, it's been a little rocky, you know, some of the signings that they've had there. I get it. But, you know, I think for me, you know, get the best one or two guys that you can. And maybe it is Kimbrel. I'd love Kimbrel there and have Hicks learn under him. But I do think they're going to shop in that market, and they have it looks like they have the payroll flexibility to do it too.
Final one for you, Jim. If you had the choice, obviously as a former general manager, who would you be hesitant or cautious of in terms of arm and for the bullpen help in free agency?
Yeah, I think you know, Cody Allen's one I'd be hesitant on. The Andrew Miller's another I'd be hesitant on. Those are the two that I'd be real careful. I'm a little concerned. There's been a lot of play on Adam Ottavino. He had a great year, pitched in Colorado. I'm always worried when guys leave Colorado, the strain that it takes pitching in that environment. You know, and he started to tire down the stretch. I'm a little concerned. Those would be my three kind of red flag guys, or maybe yellow flag. red flag with Cody Allen and maybe yellow flag with the other two.
I like it. Jim Duquette, man, I want to say thank you so much for hopping on with us tonight. It's always fun to get to talk with you. You do great stuff with MLB Network Radio. Again, thank you so much, and I'm sure we're going to be talking again once we get to the GM meetings.
Yeah, sounds good. Talk to you soon.
There you go. Jim Duquette with us, baseball analyst at MLB Network Radio. And that's really intriguing to me. And I mean, people talk about the trade for Paul Goldschmidt, and you talk about a guy like Bryce Harper. And yes, you know, both are elite bats and both help you in areas. But, you know, Manny Machado, I feel like people have just written off because they assume he's going to the Phillies or they assume he's going to the Yankees. And look, I mean, the Cardinals could provide him everything that he wants. Play third, you play short. You know, Paul DeJong can adjust. You know, you have guys in the locker room, if you're concerned about him being a problem, that can help in that area. I mean, look, Yadier Molina, I believe, has a pretty decent relationship with him and, you know, obviously a role model for a lot of people in the league, and Manny being a younger guy. But, I mean, he adds everything that this Cardinals team needs. And, I mean, as much as Bryce Harper would help in right field and that bat, and a left-handed bat on top of it, like, I feel like a lot of the problems that we saw this season, yes, it was the bat, but I mean, how many times did we say that the Cardinals lost because of an error, because of a late game blunder that happened in the infield? And, you know, there are other areas that need to be addressed still, you know, first base, the bullpen, which you heard Jim mention, a couple of names out there that could totally help. But, you know, there's so many options out there that you don't just stick to Goldschmidt or you don't just stick to Harper. Like, if Manny Machado is a possibility, which I think anybody is when it comes to the Cardinals and the amount of money that they have and are willing to spend, why not take a chance on somebody that's going to help two areas that have been concerns for you the last couple of years? So a big thank you to Jim Duquette hopping on with us, and we'll talk more baseball as we move along here tonight. But I want to switch back over to the Blues because a couple of different notes from practice today, according to Mike Yeo, and one of them fans not too happy about. We'll talk about that next on KMOX.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, final time in the 6 o'clock hour. Still a whole nother hour to get to. We'll get into more hockey talk. Greg Wyshynski hops on with us of the ESPN. He's a senior writer over there, and we'll also talk about the concussion settlement that took place and take a little deeper into the manager of the year and how influential Mike Schilt will be this season for the Cardinals. But I mentioned a couple of notes from practice today as the Blues skated up at the ice zone in Hazelwood before they got on the flight to Chicago, and a decision by Mike Yeo that I don't think a lot of people will be happy about is Jay Bouwmeester back into the lineup. Now, it's not a for sure thing, but he did skate today with Jordan Schmaltz. He skated with Joel Edmondson as Colton Parayko was not with a team today. Mike Yeo saying he will play tomorrow. So really the decision's going to come down to, is it going to be Jay Bouwmeester or is it going to be Jordan Schmaltz in the lineup tomorrow night? And I'm not on board with putting Jay back into the lineup. Like, I think at some point you have to find a way to get him back in there because you are paying him $5 million to be in the line or to be on this roster, and he's eating up the chance. And look, he's a solid defenseman when he's healthy, but that's the concerning part right now. I mean, Mike Yeo has said it a few times now that, you know, he's not 100%, you know, he's healthy, but he's just not where he wants to be, and more time will give him that. And look, I don't understand why have him in the lineup if he's not at where you want him to be. And, you know, you made the argument with Robbie Fabry of, well, you got to get him in the lineup to make sure he can compete and to get him back into game shape. But, like, forward is different than defense. Like, there's 12 guys on forward for you, and if a guy's just not feeling it, you could sit him down. If you sit a defenseman down, well, you got five guys rotating in a big situation for the game. And look, it's not unknown and mysterious that Jay Bouwmeester has struggled this season. I mean, he's been a big part of the team's disappointing losses. And getting him back in the lineup, I think, is good because you want to see where he's at. You want to see when he jumps back in, if he can be effective. But I think one thing's for sure. If he's in the lineup Wednesday or when he comes back into the lineup, if he plays anything over, boy, I don't even know what I'd be comfortable with. If he plays anything over 9, 10, 11 minutes, we got a problem. Because if this is a guy that's not where you want him to be 100%, as Mike Yo says, then he shouldn't be seeing that much ice, because that's going to result in turnovers and it's going to result in goals for the opposition. Now, the other piece from practice today was Pat Maroon hopefully getting back into the lineup. Here's what Mike Yo had to say.
Lessen the burden of not having a goal, because he didn't have a goal for the first part of the year, and I thought he was playing some real effective hockey for us, bringing momentum every time he was on the ice. So, you know, again, it's not a situation where we just said that, okay, you're not playing well. It was just unfortunately a situation where we felt that some other guys deserved to get into the lineup, and we had to make a tough choice.
Yeah, I think that's very important to remember there, that he wasn't playing bad. Mike Yo and a lot of people could just tell that there was a lot of burden on his play. Like, if you're a hometown guy, you sign a deal to prove yourself so you can get that next big contract, and you're not producing, that's going to weigh on you. So I think sitting Maroon was good for the Blues. I think it was important for him, and I'm very curious to see how he plays on Wednesday, because I said this on Sunday afternoon with Chris and Amy on our intermission. The Blues are missing him on the power play. That's why you've seen it ineffective in these last two games. You need his big body out there. You need him throwing the weight around, and you need to start seeing some production, whether it be goals, assists, or just the team scoring when he's out there on the ice. We'll talk more Blues hockey with Greg Wyshynski. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two next on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.